Let's just read the Psukim again and just pause here for a second. Vayihi Devar Hashem Al Yonah, right? Vayihi, we said, is a Lashon Tsar, something bad's happening. Why is something bad happening? Yonah's a neshama. Because the neshama is very scared to come to this world. And it's very disoriented. And even though Yonah has a positive connotation also, it's very scared. It's very scared. Right? Not just on rainy days, even on beautiful sunny days. It's a scary world. There's a lot more other than there is Klal Yisrael. Took my kids bowling yesterday, you know? Mika Amchi Yisrael, that's all I can say. Maybe I'm just getting older or something, but like, I don't know. We're just really different than other people. It's a good thing. Okay, so Yonah is Ben Amitai, right? We said he's a Ben Amiti. He knows that he's the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Emes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go to Nineveh. Go to this world. Right? The Gra told us that Kan Hi Ikar Diraso. You have to go. This is where we need to make a Dira B'Tachtonim. We have to make a world for HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. But it's very scary. And go to the city and call out to it. Try to be Mechazik people. Right? Try to lead with your Neshama. And Yonah, of course, because he's so scared, it's scary when someone believes in you, no? It's very scary. If someone says, like, you're incredible, you could accomplish things in the world that could change the world. That's a scary compliment. That's a huge achrayas. That's what Hashem says to Yonah. Hashem said to every one of our neshamas before we get into this world, you have to go down there and make a massive difference in the world. That's very scary. So what do we do? What does Yonah do? He tries to what? He tries to run to Tarshish. What's Tarshish? Tarshish, we explained, represents Taivas Olam Haza. Right? Tarshish was known for transporting lots of merchandise. And he wants to go Milifnei Hashem. Right? Of course, as we explained last week on Yom Kippur, we finally come back in the clearest way of Lifnei Hashem Titaru. But we're trying to act as if we're Milifnei Hashem. We can get away from Hashem. And he goes down to Yafo. He tries to immerse himself in all the Yafel, the beauty of Olam Haza, and he tries to escape. That's the sad story of Yonah. Okay? So let's pick up Pasuk Dalet. We're on page 87, which is page 2. About 10 lines down. And the Pasuk says, and Hashem brought a very strong wind. In other words, you're not going to actually be able to get away. Yonah's trying to escape on his boat. And his boat is taken over by Hashem. There's this crazy storm on the water. If you look in the Medrash, in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it says, it's always a strange image to picture, it says that the water, picture all the boats on the water, you know, coasting along on a beautiful day, and there's this one, it's like in the cartoons, you know, there's like this one huge rain cloud over Yonah's boat, and the boat is going back and forth, and you look out, and you see everything else is totally normal. Clearly, Hashem is targeting Yonah. Okay, but the pasuk says, "Vahashem hitil ruach gedola." You see where it says "Vahashem"? Pasuk Dalet. Vahashem. However, what is Vahashem? Vahashem is actually a code word. We know it from Rashi and Parshas Vayera. So you'll say we're at the end of Chumash Devarim. You expect me to remember Rashi and Parshas Vayera? Okay, so I'll help you out. Vahashem. I'll let the Vilna Gaon help us out. Hu ubez dino. Rashi says in Bereishis Perek Yud Tes, whenever it says Vahashem, it's Hashem and his Beis Din. So what do you think that means here? Okay, clearly Yonah's about to be held accountable, but when Hashem like brings the whole, you know, heavenly court, right, that means you're like in big trouble. Although more so, ironically, it's Vahashem. Hashem, Yudke Vavke, right? It's Hashem's name usually of kindness. It's almost like, you know, like a vav ha-hipuch. The vav like transforms the mercy of Hashem into wrath, because Hashem has to hold Yonah very accountable here, and Hashem comes with his Beis Din to hold Yonah accountable. Because what he's doing is the most silly crime, the crime of thinking you can run away from God. And that's why we're learning this. That's what these days of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is about, is stop pretending you can run away from Hashem. Yeah.
Could it also be that it's like the second half of the year?
Well, it's just written Vav Hey here, but I'm saying it's actually Vav. Okay, Vav.
You're saying it's the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm saying this is just they wrote it. You see what I'm saying?
Got it, yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting question why we use the letter hey for Hashem. That itself is an interesting question. But okay, good. So it's Hashem and his based in. Okay, and he's hitil ruach gedola. Hashem brings a huge storm. He midas hadin hamikatreges lefanav tamid. This is the midas hadin that is mekatrek, that speaks against us, that slanders us, that always stands up and screams out, look how this person is defiling the sanctuary. Whether you want to say it's our life in this world, Hashem's made a beautiful world, or there's potential for it to be a beautiful world. Basi lagami, welcome to my beautiful garden, Hashem says. So it's our job to make it beautiful, and we were metame it. Or you could say it differently. You could say it's the neshama being made tame by the mikdash is the neshama being made tame by the guf. But again, there's this ruach gedola. There's a lot of noise, the big wind. There's a lot of a voice of opposition. Ukesha adam niten chas v'shalom b'rishuso as Hashem mashlicho al olam hazem ilafanav. When a person is, God forbid, given over to his rishus. Now, who's rishus? Midas Adin. So let's label Midas Adin. Let's call it the Malach HaMavis, because we're going to deal with the Malach HaMavis now. The Malach HaMavis says, this person doesn't deserve to exist. Look how he doesn't live up to his mission. You know what the Gemara says in Bava Basra about the Malach HaMavis? The Gemara says there are three Malachim who we consider to be three Malachim, but it's really all one Malach. Who is it? The Yetzirah, the Satan, and the Malach HaMavis. It's all really one character. What happens? What do Chazal say in the Gemara? Starts off as the Yetzirah. What does the Yetzirah do? What does the Yetzirah do? He messes you up. He tries to get you, he entices you to sin. After you mess up, what does he do? He turns into the Satan. What does he do? He goes and he reports on you. He tells, look how bad this guy is. No, and then comes back as the Malach HaMavis to take the penalty, to punish. So look at the words again. If a person is, God forbid, given over to his rishus, to midas hadin, to the Malach HaMavis, as Hashem mashlicho al olam hazem ilafanav, Hashem sends the Malach HaMavis. If the kitrug is accepted, if Hashem kiviyachol listens to the enticement of the Malach HaMavis, when the Satan says this person doesn't deserve to exist, va'oz yored v'notel neshama, then he comes down and he takes back the neshama, right? And then you really feel bad, because then when you're back up in the Olam Emes, you realize what you could have done, and you realize that unfortunately you may have squandered the opportunity. V'hu nikra ruach, and the Malach HaMavis is called a ruach. As it says in Tehillim, Ruach Sa'ara, right? A tempest, a strong wind. And the Malach HaMavis, so therefore in our Pasuk, it says, Hitil Ruach Gedola, Hashem sent a big wind. Right? This big force that's of opposition in our life is the Malach HaMavis. It's a Ruach Sa'ara. It's like a stormy wind. What did the Pasuk say? It's a Ruach Gedola. Now look at this line. This is a very chashuv line. V'nikra Gedola, Sha'klipa Gedola. Nikra Gedola, it's called big. I mean, you'll ask Akasha, who's bigger, you or your Yetzihara? The MSU, your Neshama is much bigger than the Yetzihara. But unfortunately, because the Yetzihara has a lot of Ruach, talks a big game, so he makes you feel small. The world makes you feel small. When you're the one Yid with his two kids in the bowling alley, right, and everyone else is eating their pepperoni pizza, yeah. And you're there with your, you know, your daughter in her skirt and your son with his little payas and you're wearing a yarmulke on your head. And Justin Bieber's playing over the loudspeaker. You feel outnumbered. Because you are. Because you are. So the klipa is called gedola. The klipa, the sitra achra, the other side, the negative forces is called big. V'chol atzadikim nikrim katan. Like Yaakov Avinu, who's called the little brother, the younger brother. Right? Obviously, when the Torah says that Esav is the gadol and Yaakov is the katan, it's talking also in terms of their birth. Esav was the Bechor, Esav came out first, Yaakov was the younger son. But biologically, right, Esav is this fierce warrior, and Yaakov is the Ishtam Yoshev Alalim. In terms of the numbers of the world, there's a lot more Esav, there's a lot more Americans and Western culture than there is Yaakov Avinu's, than there are Jews. And therefore, Inyani Kedusha are often what? On a superficial level, they're perceived as smaller. They're perceived as not being as big. And it's true, biologically true. Right? Hashem makes, I don't know, just there's a lot of bigger dudes out there who are not Jewish than Jewish. Okay, sometimes you have that, you know. A couple guys on the basketball team who are really tall. But I'm saying like, you know, the average yid is small. Right? And he's made to feel small. Yitzhar tries to make him feel small. Yitzhar wants him to feel that like you're up against a ruach sa'ara that's going to destroy your boat. You're never going to make it through. V'chein ha-kedusha zi'iris garma k'ma shekasa b'zara ala pasuk al tiru nisha ni ishchar chores pasuk in shir ha-shirim. Do not al teruni, don't judge me sha'ani ishchar chores because I am of a darkened appearance. In other words, sometimes the superficial presentation of something is not what it really is. On the outside, a Jew is small. On the inside, a Jew is huge. In fact, Rav Simcha Bunim of Preshischa said, you know, let's just talk about within Judaism, right? Are the generations getting bigger or smaller? I'm not talking about numbers of people. I'm talking about the quality of our souls. Do we believe in Yeridas Hadoros or not? So typically we assume we do believe in Yeridas Hadoros. What does the Gemara say in Masechta Shabbos? If the earlier generations were like angels, then we're like people. If they're like people, then we're like donkeys. Don't be a Balgaiva. Don't think you're like Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, the Heiliger Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, had a very holy donkey who kept halacha. There's a couple stories in the Gemara where Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey wouldn't eat something not kosher. And so don't think you know, say, that, oh, I can be a donkey, a chash of a donkey, like Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey. No, you're a plain old donkey. If you think that the earlier generations were people, then you're an animal. If they were angels, maybe you're a person. Right? So we believe in Yeridas Hadoros. But Rav Simcha Bunim of Preshischa said, even though on the outside there's Yeridas Hadoros, because the things that our lives have already, you know, in our short lifetime have experienced, right, the chaos of our life in the modern world compared to, let's say, our great-great-grandparents. And then I'm not pretending that every one of our great-great-grandparents was a huge Talmud Chacham, and right, and our grandmothers would sit and say Tehillim all day. Some of them probably did. Many of them maybe did. Right? But I'm just talking about the simplicity of their lives versus the Meshuggah nature of our lives. Right? There's Yeridas Hadoros. We believe in Yeridas Hadoros. The earlier generations were closer to Har Sinai. But Simcha Bunim of Preshischa said, that's only superficially. B'pnimius, Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, whose yahrzeit was yesterday, Rav Tzadok quotes from one of his Rebbeim, Rav Simcha Bunim of Preshischa, who said that the Nekuda Shebelev, the inner point, becomes what? Becomes more refined with the passage of time. Understand? That's a very deep idea. Superficially, we're farther away from Har Sinai, we know less Torah than earlier generations. It could take us an hour to 45 minutes to read one pasuk from the Vilna Gaon. So superficially, but internally, the Nekuda Shebelev, said Rav Simcha Bunim, is actually getting more and more refined. Compare it to something in the physical world. Let's compare it to a diamond. Let's compare it to a diamond that's being formed where? Where a diamond's formed. In a cave, it's dark, it's pressurized. And yet, somewhere in that darkness, in all of that heat, all of that pressure, comes out what? This magnificent, glowing, hidden, buried somewhere within all of that is this beautiful, precious gem. This beautiful, illuminated stone. So in a certain sense, the pressure of the generations, right? The lengthening of the gullus, the darkness of the end of days, of the Ikvas of the Mashiach, all of that cooks us up in such a way that there's a diamond that's being molded inside of us. And we have to know that. But the Yitzhar doesn't want us to know that. Yitzhar wants us to know that I'm bigger and you're smaller. Right? And of course, that smallness is the humility of Klal Yisrael. It's the humility of Yaakov Avinu, it's the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the humility of Har Sinai itself. It's the humility that Hashem desires so much. Right? But on the surface, says the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, "Al tiruni shani shchorchoras." Don't judge me because I'm darkened on the outside. Right? It looks like I have no illumination. I'm glowing on the inside. V'charva dalid memhei. V'charva, the sword of the dalid memhei. Took me a while to figure this one out. V'charva de malach hamaves. The sword of the malach hamaves. What is this sword? Now let me tell you the Gemara first. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf that when it comes time to die, it's a very scary Gemara. The Gemara says that the Malach Hamavis is going to stand over a person's deathbed, and he's going to stand there with a drawn sword. And on the tip of his sword is a drop of poison. And when you see the Malach Hamavis standing there with the sword drawn, and the poison on the edge of his sword, you're going to be so frightened, you're going to say, you're going to open your mouth, he's going to drop a little bit of poison into you, and that's going to finish off the body, and then he's able to take your neshama. So the Gemara says, about Azar Daf Chaf Amud Beis. What is the sword of the Malach Hamavis? The Malach Hamavis is not a physical being. This is not a horror movie. He doesn't actually have a sword. This is all metaphorical. So what is this? What are Chazal talking about when they talk about the sword of the Malach Hamavis? So he says, Hacharva de Malach Hamavis he halamid yud lamid yud taf. So you'll say, Rebbe, don't you know how to read Hebrew? Why are you spelling it? Because this is a name that we don't like to say so quickly. It's the female name for the Sitra Achra. There are masculine and feminine energies in the world. There are masculine and feminine forces of spiritual impurity in the world. The female aspect of spiritual impurity is called Lamed Yod Taf. In English, L-I-L-I-T-H. I say, but that's a nice name. That was my great-grandmother's name. Okay. Okay? You guys know Rav Israel's teaching about... We say Lil. We don't say the whole thing. The same way when we talk about the masculine name for the Sitra Acha, which is Samach Mem Aleph and Lamed, we say Sam. We don't say it. So you know Rav Israel's teaching about Lil? You guys know Rav Israel? Mashkiach? We haven't met him yet. When we get to the base measures finally, we move into our room. I know a lot of you know Rav Israel Kushner, our illustrious Mashkiach. So he has a very famous teaching. He says, why do so many rappers have the name Lil? Okay, so now you know. It's all Sitra Acha. It's the Klipa. Okay, so you gotta watch out for Lil anything. Lil anything, you gotta be very careful.
If it's written
Again, I don't know. It highlights that speech matters. The things we say matter. Speech is what makes us human beings. Kalach hadibur. Talmud Torah connected kulam, Lashon Hara connected kulam. Speech is one of our greatest powers. So we're careful with it. We're careful with it. We just, you know. What's the gematria of Lamed Yud, Lamed Yud Tav? Tell you a quick Torah from Rabbi Nachman. 480, which is the same gematria Rabbi Nachman says as Talmud, Gemara, Talmud Bavli. Because when a person learns Torah Shebaal Peh, when a person studies Gemara, it helps a person in fighting against this negative energy. And it's true, by the way, on the most simple level. If a person comes to me and he says, Rebbe, I'm struggling with Shmiras Sinaim, Shmiras Sabris, you know, the female aspect of spiritual impurity has taken over my life, I say, you're learning Gemara seriously, because if you're not, you don't have a chance. There's something about Talmud that's the Kalach against Lamed Yud, Lamed Yud Tav. Okay. But it represents a certain female spiritual impurity, a negative Kalach, Shemafat Es Adam, that seduces a person. Okay. And then it comes to take the neshama. And that's the drop of poison that is suspended from the sword from which a person dies. Again, what exactly he's saying is this drop of poison? It's the drop of poison somehow is the spiritual impurity that is created, right, by giving into the seduction of the Sitra Acha. Valze Amar Shlomo, And this is what Shlomo HaMelech, when Shlomo HaMelech talks about this seductive woman who can lead a person away from Hashem in Mishlei, ki nofes titoifna sifsei zara v'achirisa mara kala'ana chada kecherev pios. Listen to the pasuk. Ki nofes titoifna sifsei zara. Like, nofes means like a honeycomb or something like that, like something sweet. That's titoifna, that's like a dripping, right? Like the seductive, dripping sweetness, sifsei zara, are the lips of the zar, of the one who's like a bodhisara, right? So this other force, this outside force, this thing that's not really you, which is so tempting, so seductive, right? That it's just dripping with smooth talk, luring you in, sifsei zara. But the achrisam, of course, what's the end? But the end is mara kala'ana, is bitter like lana. Lana is like a type of root. I picture like, mar, for those who use horseradish. Yeah? But the end, so at first it's like, so wow, it's so tempting, it's so seductive, right? It's so attractive. But the end, of course, is bitter, and that's the bitter drop he's describing, that mara, that drop of poison the Gemara is describing. That's at the end, hanging off the edge of the sword. As the pasuk concludes, chada kecherev pios, sharp like a cherev pios, like a double-edged sword. What's the double-edged sword of giving into your Yetzirah? You ruin yourself in this world, and then you're taken from this world. You blew the opportunity to have a meaningful olam haza, and then he tries to rob you of your olam haba. Shtei pios bo olam haza uva olam haba no kemes imenu. He takes revenge for you in this world and the next world. By making a mockery out of your life in this world, your meaningful, holy life in this world, he's mocking you by causing you to chase after silliness. L'chein amr gedola lashon nekeva. And again, that's why it's described as a ruach gedola in the feminine, because it's specifically this feminine seduction of the female sitra achra that again can so much destroy a person. And the Gemara has many statements about that, about, you know, specifically the taiva of arayos, and how that can be so destructive, how it can be so addictive for a person, God forbid. Okay? So Hashem brings this ruach gedola el hayam. So let's talk about yam and yabasha. Okay? Look at this. This is great. El hayam, hu olam hazesh, and mishal es layam. Like we said, this world is a raging river. By the way, chavra, very important. What would you do? Kobe, what would you do? Let's say someone got, you're having a good time with some friends, you rented a boat, you're out on the boat, yeah? And one of the friends, lo aleinu, chas v'shalom, falls overboard. All right, what are you going to do? How are you going to help him?
Jump in.
You jump in to help him, okay. Jump into the sharks, yeah?
Throw
that,
whatever you call it.
What are you
going to
throw him?
Throw him a floaty.
Throw him a floaty? Yeah, throw him a rope. The guy needs a rope, no? However,
yeah.
What are the ropes to survive the raging rivers of Olam Hazeh?
No.
What are your ropes? What are the ropes? What are your ropes to keep you? To keep you? Friends, what are your ropes? What are your ropes? These are the ropes to keep you from drifting out to sea. When a Yid wears sittis, when a Jew wears sittis, okay? When a Jew wears sittis, these are the ropes to keep you attached. That way if you start to feel like, whoa, I'm getting sucked out into the deep end of the pool, and I don't know how to swim. These ropes can save your life. That's why they surround us. They protect us. They remind us of all 613 mitzvos. Right? The Rashi says, the gematria of tzitzis, what's the knot, what's the string, 613. Okay, so a person needs a rope. So a person's out at the sea. Olam hazeh is compared to the yam. V'olam haba is le'abasha. Olam haba is like dry land. Why? As the Gemara says in Maseches Tamid, this is a great conversation. Shal Alexandros Moikton as Zikne Hanegev. Rav. Alexander the Great, not Rav. Alexander the Great, Reb. Rav Alexander the Great, yeah, asked the wise men of the south. Look what he asked them. Get the words. Learn. This is a hard text, but let's try to get it down. Bayama Yoi Lemedar Obiabeshta. Where is it Yoe? Where is it more Na'e? Where is it better to live? By yam or by yabasha? Is it better to live on the water or is it better to live on dry land? That's what Alexander the Great conqueror, asked the Zikne HaNegev. Okay, So Amrulo, they said to him, Be'abashta, better to live on dry land. Why? Shekol nechuseyama, because all who are nechuseyama, all who go down to the sea, meaning anyone who sets sail, lo misva da'taihu, they have no yishuv hadas, they have no peace of mind, adesalkin liabeshta, until they make it back to dry land. You can run out of supplies, you can be shipwrecked. It's very scary when you're out on the open waters. So it's better to live on dry land. What was Alexander? This is a very deep agarata in the smallest Masechta, Masechas Tamid. What was Alexander asking these wise men of the south? Of course it's better to be on dry land. No one lives on the water. Maybe take a boat ride, but no one lives on the water. Of course, a person has no yishuv hadas until they come back to dry land. Alexander traveled the whole world. He knew that. What was he asking? Look, here's what he was really asking. V'inyano, l'fisha hayelo kol taivas olam hazeh. Alexander the Great had every human pleasurable. Tosfos asks in Maseches Megillah, when the Gemara says there are three people who ruled the world b'kippa. You know what that means, they ruled the world b'kippa? It means they ruled the world like a dome. They had the whole world under their jurisdiction. So Tosfos asks, what about Alexander the Great? He's not on the list for some reason in the Gemara. Why is he not on the list? The Gemara, I think Tosfos answers because he's not mentioned in Tanakh. But essentially, the Gemara is acknowledging the fact that Alexander the Great ruled the entire world. So he had everything. He had everything at his disposal. He had anything and everything that he could possibly want. Let me double check. Shlosha malchu b'chol ha'olam kulo. Okay, Megill Yud Aleph. V'hodilo chashiv Alexander Moktan, says Tosfos. Right? Why is Alexander the Great not mentioned? Mishum delo ayri hacha el ba'osim aksuvim lehedya. Because the Gemara is only citing examples of people in Tanakh who had dominance over the world. Okay, so Alexander the Great did not dominate the whole world in Tanakh, but he certainly historically dominated the whole world. So what was he asking? Again, what's the yam? The yam is this world. What's the yabasha? Olam haba. So he says, maybe you Jews think Olam Haba is better than Olam Hazeh. Why? Why? Because what's the life of a Jew in this world? I'm just talking about in terms of there's a lot of oppression, there's a lot of suffering. But maybe, Alexander said, but what if you have an Olam Hazeh like me, then maybe my Olam Hazeh is better than your Olam Haba? You hear? That's what he's asking. What's better? The Yam? Or the Abasha? So they answer, what do you mean? Of course, the Abasha is better. But what was he asking? Of course the Abasha is better. He's asking, if you have a Yam like I have, if you have an Olam Hazeh where all your desires are fulfilled, not like a Jew who has to go through pogroms and Holocaust. I understand why you Jews would rather get to that world, where it's safer for you. But I'm asking from my perspective, what could be better than all the pleasure and the dominance that I have in this world? He had Kol Taivas Olam Hazeh, Umalach Al Kol HaOlam. He ruled over the whole world. And therefore, says the Gra, he thought kivar sheshach sha'amar l'Rava. He thought like Bar Sheshach said in his conversation to Rava. What was Bar Sheshach's conversation with Rava? Is lechu ki haygavna la'alma da'ase. Bar Sheshach was a wealthy Roman. Bar Sheshach was one time sitting in a beautiful bath, surrounded by beautiful women. And Rava came by the bathhouse, and Bar Sheshach was enjoying all the sensual desires and pleasures of Olam Hazeh. And he called out to Rava, and he said, Rava, do you have anything like this in the world to come? Is l'chu ki haygavna la'alma da'aseh? Does it get any better than this? That was Alexander's question. If you have an Olam Hazeh, where you really get to enjoy the pleasures of this world, you really think Olam Haba is better, Jews? So Rava responded, v'heshev lo, Didon adife tvei mihai. Ours is better than yours. Ours is better than yours. So he says, well, why is that? So he said, Osun is alaihu emasa v'chulo. Because you have the emasa, you have the fear of the king upon you. Even though you are a very chashuv, high ranking person, wealthy, you know, fellow in Roman society, but there's still government above you. And if you get on the wrong side, if you become too wealthy, then maybe, I don't know, government rulers become jealous of you, they're going to take it out on you. You have to live with fear. Right now, you're enjoying all the pleasures of this world in the bathhouse. But you should know, you're still living in fear. And when we get to Olam Haba, when we're invited back into Hashem's embrace, we're not going to fear anything at all. Perish. Sheshaal bar sheshach eza yoser tov. Ha'olam haze b'shalvisa olam haba. I'm not talking about, again, a Jew's, bar sheshach, I'm not comparing a Jew's olam haze of struggle to olam haba. I'm talking about my Roman olam haze. My geshmak Roman olam haze. You think your olam haba is better than that? Vehera mechush sheolam haba tov yoser. Kitovas olam haba iefshar lahasig lechush. And he responds to him by saying that what? Well, let me tell you what happened at the end of the story first. I'll tell you what the Gemara says, because the Grad doesn't quote the whole story. End of the story was, he's sitting there in the bathhouse and he's bragging how his olam haza is better than anything, any pleasure you could possibly imagine in olam haba. And Rabbi says, no, but you still have to live with fear that the government at any point could come after you. And he basically like laughed it off. A minute later, government officials show up and say, Bar Sheshach, the Caesar wants you. The Caesar, you're summoned to the, yank him out of the bath. And as he's leaving, he looks at Rava, because he feels like Rava, this is Rava's fault. You know, Rava is the one who said the government might come after him one day. He says to Rava, he says, the one who spoke against, the one who's a threat to this man should have his eyes gouged out. Right? And the Gemara says, and what happened was that Bar Sheshach himself, when he was slept into the Caesar, he had his eyes gouged out. He ended up cursing himself, and he had his own eyes gouged out. What's the secret of the eyes being gouged out? Why, Dafka, did he have this conversation while steeped, mamish steeped, in Taivas Olam Haza? Because again, a person sometimes, when you're experiencing the pleasure of Olam Haza, you start to think, maybe there's nothing better than this. There can be nothing more geschmack than this. Right? What my physical eyes see, what my senses tell me, is that this is as good as it gets. But Bar Sheshach had his eyes poked out because, remind yourself, the same way we remind ourselves, every time we say Shema, we cover our eyes, we're reminding ourselves, no, this is not it. My eyes are going to tell me this is as good as it gets. So eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you'll die. Have a good time. You know? Find the geschmack secular college and have the secular college experience. Like a good Roman. Yeah, join a frat. Have a good time. Right, what could be better than that? Sitting here learning some rabbi who lived a couple hundred years ago. This is a good time. This is appropriate for healthy, normal 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old young men. So Bar Sheshach is laughing at us. But Rava says, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. Bar Sheshach was saying, is there anything better than the pleasure of Olam Haza? Vehera michush. And he tried to, again, it was a sensory conversation, right? Bar Sheshach is literally sitting in the bath as this is happening. And yet, Rava says back to him, I'm going to show you that your senses are misleading. Sholam haba tov yoser. Ki tovas olam haba yefshar lahasig lachush. You can't explain to the senses. Your physical senses can't understand the pleasure of olam haba. Va'al kein ein tovaso mefurash bekasuv. Interesting. And therefore, the pleasure of olam haba is not mefurash bekasuv. Chevra, tell me, where in the Chumash does it talk about olam haba? Nowhere. Doesn't. Why? Many answers to that question. But the Vilna Gaon is saying, because we don't have words to describe it. It's not a physical pleasure like anything you can possibly imagine or have ever experienced. It's not something you could smell or feel or see or hear. It's much, much deeper than any of that. It's much deeper than that. And that's why Bar Sheshach had his eyes gouged out. You think that you could perceive, you have what to even measure what Olam Haba's pleasure is like? No. Ein tov asa mefurish bekasuv. Its goodness is not recorded in the Chumash. Halkein ochiach mizesh olam haza. Afilu im yeh kol olam shalom. So the response to Alexander, the response to Bar Sheshach is, even Olam Haza like you, Alexander the Great, who rules the whole world, even Bar Sheshach, who's sitting in the Roman bath, enjoying all the pleasures of this world, even an Olam Haza like this, mikol makom kol yamov, nonetheless, all of your days are what? are frustrating. You know why? You know why? Because unfortunately, as it says in Pirkei Avos, marbe nechasim, marbe daiga. More money, more problems. That's how it is. You guys heard about the CEO or whatever from Bed Bath & Beyond? They just jumped? CFO. CFO from Bed Bath & Beyond took his life. Because he's, what?
There's a new CFO already.
There's a new CFO already. Yeah, they don't waste time with these things. He threw himself off a building. Why? Because he's being brought to court. Why? Because he's a crook. Why? Because he had a lot of money. So why do they want more money? I don't know. Because people are crazy. Because that's the type of mammon. Marba nechasim, marba daiga. More money, more problems. You think this is going to help you? You think what? When you have $10 million, life's going to be so much more geschmack. It's going to be so much more complicated. It's going to be so much more complicated. Read studies about people who win the lottery. What happens to them afterwards? Lo aleinu. You'll be thankful. You'll be thankful for every time you lost. Be thankful every time you lost. So Bar Sheshach is sitting there saying, right? It doesn't get better than this. And Rava says, you fool. You fool. This is going to get you nowhere. And it did, and that was the end. He had his eyes poked out. Marba nechasa, marba daig. V'kvar harichu sifrei musar ki ein batuach la'adam lo berov osro lo bebanavu v'nosav. A person should not take... And again, Hashem wants us to enjoy this world. It's a beautiful world. But in a stable way, not to lose yourself. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Sometimes when you go to a kvura, I saw this just the other day, at my great uncle, Yosef Mordechai ben Moshe, Alav Shalom's kvura, as I was burying my grandmother's brother. So some of the chevra from the chevra Kedisha, there's a minug to say to a person his name. As you're covering over the aron, as you're burying the person, you remind the person his name. You say, don't forget your name, don't forget your name. There's a thing that in the Olam HaEmes, they ask you, what's your name, who are you? And there's a very big fear that's discussed in this farm, which is why some people put a pasuk at the end of Shmoneh Esrei that corresponds to their name. It's a very big inyan to try to remember your name. Because just like you were disoriented coming down to this world, right, going back up is also like coming back from this world is very overwhelming. Right? So you say to a person, you say to at the kvura, you say, Yosef Mordechai ben Moshe, remember your name, remember your name. You say it's a very intense thing. You say to the mace. You say in the presence of the neshama. The neshama hovers around. Tzaddikim say, the Svarim tell us that the neshama hovers around until after the kvura. So you're saying to the neshama as it's about to head up. You say, you know, neshama, remember who you are. So that's what it's telling us here, right? Remember who you are. Ein batuach la'adam lo berov osho. Person should never have a sense of what of completely feeling batuach. I rely upon my wealth. You could lose all your money. You could lose all your money. My great uncle was born in 1929. A week after he was born, Great Depression started. The world can change like that. Ki ein batuach ha'adam lo berov osro lo bebanav uvnosav. Person says, I'm blessed, I have a large family, I have children, I have money, life is good. Right? We should remember that our bitachon is in Hashem. Ve'ein adam meis v'chatzi ta'avaso biyado. And as it says in the Medrash, a person doesn't leave this world with even half of his desires fulfilled. Let me tell you what the Medrash says. It's an incredibly deep psychological insight. It says, a person doesn't leave this world. Did I say this the other day? A person doesn't leave the world. I know I shared it in Shul the other day. A person doesn't leave the world with even half of his desires in his hand. And the Medrash says, for example, Mi sheyesh lo mana rotza masayim. If a person has $100, he wants masayim, he wants 200. A person has 100 million, he wants 200 million. Listen again. Person doesn't leave this world with even half of his desires in his hand. If he has 100, he wants 200. Ask a kasha, a simple kasha, a balabatish, a kasha, a mathematical kasha. That is half. 100 is half of 200. The Medrash says in Koheles, a person doesn't leave this world with even half of his desire in his hand. If he has 1 million, he wants 2 million. 1 million is half of 2 million, no? It's a good kasha. Kasha on Chazal. So the Maharam Shif, in the back of the Gemara in Chulin, says an amazing thing. Yes, cool. Little insights. Drushim Nechmadim. He says an amazing thing. Very deep psychological insight. You ready for this, Jack? Listen to this. The million that you have in your mind is worth less than the million that you don't yet have. You imagine you have $100 million. Yeah, but the next $100 million, that's going to really... that's when life's really going to go. So the 100 that he has, and he wants 200, in his dimyon, in his imagination, that the other 100 is going to, that's going to make my life great. Then I'll finally have everything I want. And that's what Chazal is saying. No, you're never going to get there. You'll never leave with even half your desires. The part that you're chasing is always going to perceive, the perception of it's always going to be so much bigger than the part that you have. And therefore, how lucky we are that we're the katan. Right? How lucky we are that we're not the world of Esav, the god who's always chasing and pursuing and wants more. We're so lucky that we have an Olam Haba. We have an Olam Haba that we can't even begin to wrap our minds around. And our job is just to, again, to hold on for this ride through this world and try to make it meaningful. The more you have, the more you want. The Gemara says in Sukkah, when it comes to arayos, the Gemara says there's a part of the body, referring to the bris milah, there's a part of the body, the more you feed it, the hungrier it gets. The more a person satisfies their sexual cravings, the more they feel unsatisfied, dissatisfied. And they want more. And the more you starve it, the more that you engage in sexual activity in a healthy, proper, Torahic way, the more it doesn't become your enemy, it becomes a holy part of life, it becomes the first mitzvah, it becomes pur arvu. But if you feed the monster, if you feed the taiva, so it just grows and grows and grows and grows. And the people have too much money, all the mishugana people in Hollywood who make too much money, all the athletes, right? What happens to them? Where do they end up? Occasionally you hear one who starts a nice organization, after school sports for kids. And that's kavaldik, kol kavod. Halavai, they should all do that. But many of them, they get messed up with prostitutes and drugs and gambling. And so where does it go? Masha'en ken olam haba shabatuach. Shalo yikhu mimen. As opposed to one's olam haba. Right? When you invest in olam haba, chevra, it's an investment that lasts forever. V'neskaira daito sham bechelko. And a person is able to come to the yabasha, a place where you can have real, genuine peace of mind. Because in this world, the more you have, the more worries that come with it. That's what it means. We don't have the fear that you have. When you make it to Olam Haba, it's real menuchas hanefesh. It's real shalva. It's not a dimyon of shalva. It's not a perception of having an easy life. It's genuine yishuv hadas. V'lachein amar Olam Haba ein bo kina v'sina. The Gemara says, Olam Haba, there's no jealousy, there's no hatred, there's no more chasing. V'lakach karet tzadik shemez nach nafshei. That's when the Gemara describes the tzadik who dies, it says nach nafshei. His soul was at rest. Because it's real menucha. Shabbos, yom menucha. Olam Haba, yom shekula Shabbos. Mamish menucha. Therefore, it says in Pirkei Avos, better a taste, a whiff of Olam Haba, a little whiff, a glimpse of Olam Haba, is more desirable than what? Than all of Olam Haza. And therefore, they said to Alexander the Great, anyone who's out at the sea, even someone who's as big as you are, Alexander, for all of your big victories, for all of your money, for all of the access you have to all of your desires, you're not settled. You're still battling. You're scared someone's going to try to assassinate you. You don't have yeshiva das. And therefore, hishlach Hashem es midas hadin elukim milafanav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent midas hadin to remind Yonah of this truth. Look at you. You thought you tried to escape on a boat to try to have yeshiva das. You hopped on a cruise ship going to Tarshish thinking that was going to help you. Look how much more chaotic your life has become. Look at this Ruach Gedola. Look at this crazy storm that's brewing right above your ship. Incredible. However, let's finish the pasuk. Vayihi sa'ar gadol bayam. Four lines from the bottom. Shenikra sa'ar gadol shesoer es hayam olam hazeh. There's a sar. Again, there's this tempest. There's this raging storm of the Yam of Olam Hazeh. V'kan b'lashon zachar shemitchila bahi el haguf u'machala osol b'chala'im ra'im shehinekres chayla k'ma shekasa b'koheles v'achar kach ba litl neshama al yada. First we said Hashem sent what? A ruach gidola lashon nekeva. Now it's being described as what? As a sar gadol, as opposed to a se'ara gidola. Why the switch from female to male? Because as we explained, at first it's a female taiva, it's a feminine aspect of taiva that lures a person in. But more than that, if you remember, we learned last week that who's zachar and who's the nekeva in the body and the soul. Who's the zachar? Who's the nekeva? Who's supposed to? The zachar means mashpil, supposed to direct, and the nekeva is supposed to be what? More on the receiving end. So the neshama is supposed to be zachar, supposed to direct life, supposed to lead, and the body is supposed to be the ship, right? That's being controlled. But here, what happens? You see, first it attacks the female, it attacks the body, because the body's weak. The body is the one that's susceptible to what? To being lured in and being told, wow, look how geshmak Olam Hazeh is. And then afterwards, once the body has become weakened, once the body has become addicted to the pleasure of Olam Hazeh, right? Again, it starts off, he says, Lashon Nekeva, right? And then it switches here to Zachar. Because again, at first it targets the body, which is the Nekeva. And now afterwards it goes after the Neshama, which is the Zachar. Kavosha B'tchila, three lines to the bottom. Shekol ha-pituyim oseh al yada, kein besof, k'ma shekasa b'zahar. That again, just like there's this female seduction followed by this, I guess, masculine image of the Sitra Achra, of the Yetzer Hara, of the Malach HaMaves, so too the body, which is, again, female, is attacked first, and then only afterwards the Neshama is gone afterwards. V'lachein amru b'pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer v'medrash Rabbah, therefore it says in the Midrashim, like I told you before, shekol ha-ruach v'asar lo haya ela al-osa svina, the only boat that was shaking was what? Was this boat of Yonah, Shekola Svinos Holchin B'Shalom. Because the boats that behave themselves are able to make it through this world safely. But it's the one who tries to get on a boat, a Tarshish boat, a party boat, heading to Yafo, right? And look at the precision. Look at the precision of the Midas Adin. Look how precise. A person, Mita Kenegad Mita, you made a choice, Yonah. You tried to run. I have no choice but to go after you. But I'm not going to go after you. I'm going to go after you. I'm going to go after your boat. Okay? Turn the page. Last piece for today. And the boat, chishva, interesting word. The boat, chishva lihishaver. The boat thought about breaking apart. The boats think. It means the boat was on the verge of destruction. But it's an interesting lashon. The boat thought that it was going to break. And the sailors on the boat thought that the boat was going to break. What do you mean the boat thought it was going to break? It says the girl at the top of page 88. Haguf choshev, the body thinks. Sha'al kein or al kach yishaver ata. The body thinks, the body is very scared. Who is more scared of dying, the body or the neshama? The body. Why? Because the neshama knows, even if it's disoriented, it knows that it's going to live forever. The neshama also knows something else, which we're going to get into now for just a minute, that if it failed, it has another chance. But the body is really scared. The body is really scared of what? Of the reality of the body, which is turning back into dust. Adam yisoda me'afar v'sofa l'afar. You can go to the gym as much as you want. At a certain point, life happens, you know? The people in Hollywood can keep doing the plastic surgery at some point. Besides the fact that you look like a monster. Right? But at some point, you're going to die. That's a scary and harsh reality. So the guf thinks, I'm so scared, I'm going to be broken apart. The body thinks, this is the end of me. As it says in the Zohar, Shekol yamai choshev shekol olam hazeh hishalo. That throughout life, the body thinks it's king of the world, thinks it rules. A person doesn't think they're going to die, they think they're going to live forever. Right? Ula olam lo yamos, I'm never going to die. Aval achsha, but now, in the moments when the boat is starting to fall apart, Ra'u umaschil, now it starts to recognize that its time has come. Sha'af sha'al karchach tispol avonosav. And the neshama, even though the neshama is the one who has to answer really more than the body for the behavior, it's going to have to bear the iniquity. Mikol makom, the neshama knows, lo yavad lanetzach, shiyetukan begilgal. The neshama knows that first of all, the neshama is going to live on. And if the neshama needs a tikkun, it can come back to this world a second time, even a third time. As the pasuk says in Iyov, pa'amayim v'shalosh im gaver. If necessary, two times. If necessary, three times. Vashein ken haguf, as opposed to the body, she'einu metukan b'gilgal, tishavar lenetzach. The body which doesn't undergo a gilgal, a reincarnation, is broken forever. V'hu doma l'chaf ches. This one was also a hard one. The body is like a kli cheres, like an earthenware vessel. Shesrich and shvira. However, what's the halacha if something metal becomes tamei? You can be metaria. What happens if an earthenware vessel becomes tamei? The way to purify it is to destroy it. If you want, you can crush it up and rebuild it. But it needs shvira. It needs to be broken. So the body, adam yisodam e'afar v'sofal afar, the body which comes from the earth, right? It can only be purified by what? By being broken. V'amru kevan shenishvar shuv ein lo takana. And once you break it, it can't come back exactly the same way. You can't refashion it exactly the same way. The neshama is eternal. The neshama can try again. But the body is very nervous. And that's the boat. The boat is scared that it's about to be shattered. U'meduyak lashon, and therefore the language is precise. When the pasuk says chishva, that it thinks, she'enu shayach al-svina mamish. What do you mean the boat thinks? No, the boat again is our mashal, says that it's only going for the body. It's for one's physicality. It's my human mind that thinks, that's frightened, what's going to be? It's the regret that a person has on their deathbed that they invested in their body and they didn't invest in their neshama. And therefore the neshama is also nervous about the Yom HaDin, but the neshama at least knows. The neshama knows I'm eternal. The neshama knows I get second chances. The neshama knows who it really is. But the body, when it faces this reality, you know, it's very overwhelmed by it. Okay? So Rabbi said, let's stop here. I give us a bracha. We should just, it's so easy to talk about these things, and it's so simple to acknowledge their truth, and it's so easy, you know, on a certain level to know. It's so easy to know. And at the same time, when I look at 14 and 15-year-old public school kids playing arcades yesterday at the bowling alley, there's a part of me that still feels a little jealous in some silly kind of way. Like, it would be so geschmack to just, you know, not have to worry about finishing Shas, not have to worry about getting up for davening, not have to worry about not speaking Lashon Hara, not have to worry about anything. Right? But it's all part of the ruse of the Yetzirah. And you have to remember, it's much, much better to live on Yabasha than it is to live on the Yam, even if you have the Yam of Alexander the Great or Bar Shesha. Yeah.
Says like no matter how big you get, you're always going to see the klipa in this world. Like how does someone like feel if they're doing what they're supposed to do? How does someone feel comfortable, just stable with who they are and what they're doing if they're doing what they're supposed to do?
In terms of what? Why would they not feel good if they're doing what they're supposed to?
Because there's always the HR. There's always evil attacking
you
in your life.
Hashem, right? Hashem makes the Yetzirah grow with you, right? We said that's the Gemara in Sukkah. The bigger you are, the bigger your Yetzirah is. In other words, like we learned in Morva Shemesh last week, if you're alive, you're here for a reason. Don't be a matzeva. Don't get stuck. Tzadik tirdof. There's always more to do. It's a big responsibility. It seems burdensome at times. Okay, that's being human, right? But you should be able to take pride in your success, and then you try to go up to the next level. You beat one level, so you go to the next level. Right?
You know, you're always going to go bowling. Like you just went bowling.
Adam la amol yulad. It's a life of hard work. Again, when we make it eventually to the abasha, nach nafshe, it'll be menucha, and we get a taste of that. Hashem in His kindness gave us a taste of that every week in this world. It's called Shabbos Kodesh, real menucha. Yom Menucha, real Yom Menucha. But we're in this world as workers. It's hard. It's a schus. Again, it feels good when you accomplish. It feels good to work hard. And that's also one of the big lies of the Yetzirah. I think Lai's Eitzahara is that, like, you know, just try to get by with as little effort as possible. It feels good to work hard. And b'chukosai teleichosh, to a melim b'torah. It feels good to work hard. It doesn't feel as good to sit, you know, to sit in shir and just, you know, listen as you know, as getting involved, of trying to figure out the tosos yourself. Okay, whatever, I'll wait till shir starts and the Rebbe will explain it. So I don't have to work that. But it's a great feeling when you're working during Seder and you figure out the tosos yourself, you take it one word at a time, and you figure it out. That's gevaldik. Right? From Tzara Agra, in accordance with the hard work is the gain. So we have to, you know, the cultural mindset of like the ultimate goal is just chilling all day. It's not a Torah value. And it doesn't make a person happy. Yeah, Rabbi Oyron. Okay. All right, Chaver, let's we'll pause here. It's a good place to pause.